This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
Well, yesterday all eyes were on South Africa as the much-anticipated March on March protests took place across parts of the country. In the weeks leading up to the demonstrations, there were widespread concerns about possible violence and unrest, prompting the South African Police Service to deploy, well, significant resources to maintain order. Thankfully, in the end, the day passed largely peacefully. Now, the marches organized around concerns over illegal immigration reignited an important national conversation about border security, also law enforcement and economic pressures, and the difference between legitimate public protest and xenophobia. So, on that basis, what should we take away from yesterday's events? Did the demonstrations reveal a country divided or simply one demanding answers from government? Well, joining us now to look at this situation a lot closely from a political significance perspective of the protests is Makone Maja. Makone is a political analyst, policy commentator, and also campaign manager at the Institute of Race Relations. Makone, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi there, Michael. Always good to chat to you and your listeners.
Great to have you on board, Makone. Well, after weeks of anticipation and warnings of possible unrest, the protests, well, they passed largely peacefully. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday? Let's start there.
Largely peacefully, we're hearing the Minister of Police claim that they were about 90% peaceful. What we've also learned from the marches is that whilst March and March is the mother body and the facing organization behind these organizations, these marches, anti-illegal immigrant or immigrant marches, is that there've also been splinter movements that have emerged, that are marshaled by individuals that are not identified with any of these organizations. And I think what I've definitely gathered from yesterday's protests is that there once was a line about which immigrants should be departing from the country, and that line is getting blur and more blur by the protest. We learned from marches, for example, in Ekurhuleni, that despite certain shop owners possessing documents and license to operate spaza shops, for example, that the police were able to assess and assure us that the license will continue till the year 2027. Despite those assurances that demonstrate that this is a spaza shop that's operating legally and with permission from the state, that those protesters still were adamant about the removal, the forceful removals and ejection of those immigrants from the country. So there's been a splinter, I think, in movement and in messaging, and I think it's to be expected given if you were privy to the images that the media shared of the extent and the size of the protest, it one should expect that certain opportunistic groups also take advantage and emerge and form in diversion of those marches. I think March and March leaders themselves are also culpable, I'll say, because in one word they speak about being anti-illegal immigrants, but in another they speak and describe in broad strokes Uber drivers, for example, operating in Johannesburg without offering any evidence of how many of those Uber drivers, for example, are actually illegal immigrants. They cast all Uber drivers who operate in South Africa and are foreign as one and the same. So I think that there's been a splintering and a fracturing in the organization where they've lost, I think, the messaging that was once clear about this movement being against anti-illegal immigrant, where their actions seem to, you know, veer into and venture into just being anti-immigrant at large.
You know, Makone, the lost the when you say lost the interpretation, perhaps now there's some other interpretation that we can take away from this, in that besides the illegal immigrant status, which apparently, well, which was now the basis of these protests, it goes further, because there was a story the other day I was reading where police were accompanying these protesters who were going into businesses and checking on foreign nationals working legally, but they still had a problem with that. Now, are we seeing something vindictive going on here where they actually want foreigners out because, no, we South Africans first, we need our jobs? And now, given the fact that also, an article has also appeared earlier on where there's this intent to continue protests weekly until the elections, the municipal elections. Are we seeing another agenda surfacing here?
Absolutely. It was the leader of March on March herself who said at a protest yesterday that they would continue every Thursday until their demands are met.
Right.
But again, those demands are now getting into venturing into other arenas.
Mm-hmm.
If we're just describing all immigrants and all people operating in South Africa from foreign countries without making the distinction and without also having access to the numbers about which individuals are actually illegal and operating illegally in South Africa.
Precisely.
And to your question about people taking the law into their own hands and checking for licenses or checking for people's documents to evaluate whether or not they're in the country illegally, I think that also brings about, as I've said, the question of not only who are these organizations,
right,
but the loss of messaging here and a revelation of deeper underlying motives that I think vary from people that have legitimate grievances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because those must also be acknowledged, that there are individuals that are operating in good faith that have legitimate grievances about the presence of illegal immigration and the threat and the risks it poses to the country, whether it's about law and order, whether it's about integration, whether it's about resource management. But once you see these, the loss of this message, it clouds the true motives,
right,
of all these individuals and all these groups that are emerging to oppose immigration in the country.
You know, one of the biggest debates also has been whether opposing illegal immigration automatically amounts to xenophobia. So how then can we distinguish between the two?
Yeah, listen, I think that the label of xenophobia when indiscriminately applied is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because people do have legitimate grievances. And if those grievances are not acknowledged by rational individuals, by individuals in positions of power, it gives opportunity for populist actors to come and seize upon the vulnerabilities of those communities. And then we've lost the narrative, and not only the narrative, but we've lost the ability to govern over our communities once we've seized or ceded power to these populist organizations. And I think yesterday was an example of this. The riots of July 2021 were an example of this. The threat of violence by the EFF in 2024, when they threatened to make the country ungovernable, which is where we saw the deployment levels of the police yesterday first emerge after the July riots. That once you cede grounds to populist organizations by muzzling South Africans and just blindly, indiscriminately labeling them as xenophobic or any other phobic or ism, racism, sexism, whatever it may be, once you muzzle people without actually allowing them to ventilate their grievances,
sure,
you cede ground for those bad actors. And so I think blindly labeling people and casting them all as xenophobic has been unhelpful. And I think it's one of the things that have contributed to the suppressed anger that we're seeing now being expressed and being platformed. I don't think the media has been helpful either, because there was once a denial, I think, of the realities of many South Africans about what the illegal immigration and the threats it poses to South Africans. And then we went from that to suddenly every story that involves an illegal immigrant is described as such. And that contributes to the stirring of people's anger, where every issue is now characterized along illegal immigrant lines, right? So I think we do need to strike a balance, including us people in the political non-government space. We need to strike a balance between actually, communicating with facts-based evidence what the reality on the ground is versus just, rushing to quell the issues by silencing people with words such as xenophobia. At the same time, when xenophobia does occur, when it is clear that people have veered beyond just, legitimate grievances, when it's clear that those people are motivated by something other than, genuine problems that are occurring in South Africa. This is a post-mortem that we're doing, right? Once we have, once we are clear about what those people's motives are, and if it emerges that it is indeed xenophobia, when foreigners are attacked despite their status, if they are legal or not, and that's not to say they should be attacked if they are illegal, but it does reveal something when the criticism no longer is just about people being here illegally, but about people being here legally as well, then it is clear that this is no longer about problems of crime or problems of limited resources, but that one can actually describe those people as just having an issue with foreigners, which is what xenophobia is.
I just wish we had more time to, really take a further look at the issue, Makone. But if I can, if we can rather finish off on a double-barreled question, if I can put this to you. So now that the marches are over, the big issues now remain. So from your perspective, what now should happen next if government wants to reassure South Africans that their concerns are being heard? And what do you hope South Africans learnt from yesterday's events?
We've already seen some of the efforts that are undertaken by the Department of Home Affairs, for example, about the sustainable mechanisms that will be established to ensure that people that once entered the country legally are no longer able to use or take advantage of the system. They're using technology such as facial recognition to capture the identities of those people who have been repatriated or deported, who were in South Africa illegally, to ensure that, they're not able to return to the country. So there is a bolstering of systems in a way that is sustainable, in a way that ensures longevity, to ensure that these issues are curbed and do not reoccur again. Unfortunately, I think there is a lingering message here from violent protests or protests that because there were elements of violence, right? We're describing an instance of 90% peaceful protest, but there was still violence. The South African government's message to the South African people is clear that in order to be heard, in order for your concerns to be acknowledged, you need to take to the streets, that a tire needs to be burning, that somebody needs to be killed. And that is rather unfortunate. I think we should avoid being a reactionary government, which is often the case, but rather be proactive in adopting and taking on and platforming grievances before they spill into other forms of violence or threats of violence or harassment, as we've seen leading up to the 30th of June itself.
Well, certainly. Yesterday's protests, well, they may have concluded peacefully, but they have undoubtedly brought some difficult questions back into the national spotlight, which I have posed to my guest today. Questions around immigration, border management, public safety, economic opportunity, and the rule of law aren't going to go away anytime soon. And the challenge now is to ensure that these conversations are guided by facts, sound policy, and responsible leadership rather than fear or misinformation. Makone, it's been a pleasure having you on board the show today. And thank you so much for your input regarding yesterday's protests and what it means going forward. Makone Maja, political analyst, policy commentator, and campaign manager at the Institute of Race Relations. Well, do you see these protests as a wake-up call or a cause for concern? Do you think now our frustrations are being fairly heard through these kinds of demonstrations? And where do you personally draw the line between protest and prejudice? Looking forward to continuing that conversation with you on today's show. Karen says, hopefully the government will listen and make a positive change. Indeed, that's everybody's hope at this point in time, Karen.